We come together this morning to wait upon and to worship our God. And as we do so, let us join together in the praise of his name from the words of Psalm 139. Psalm 139, O Lord, thou hast me searched and known. Thou knowest my sitting down and rising up, yea, all my thoughts afar to thee are known. My footsteps and my lying down, thou compassest all ways. Thou also most entirely art acquaint with all my ways. For in my tongue before I speak, not any word can be. But altogether, lo, O Lord, it is well known to thee. Behind, before, thou hast beset and laid on me thine hand. Such knowledge is too strange for me, too high to understand. From thy spirit whither shall I go, or from thy presence fly? Ascend I heaven, lo, thou art there. There if in hell I lie. These words, which are a comfort, but also a challenge to every one of us, as we are mindful of the way in which God knows all things and all details about us all. Join together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our Lord and our God, this again is the day thou hast appointed for thy people to gather together and to worship thy name. And as we set ourselves in the path of duty at this time, the expectation, the hope, and the look of our soul is unto thyself to be with us, for thy presence to be known by us, and to receive something from thine hand that we might take with us as we go from our service this morning. But, O Lord, as we face the responsibilities as well as the privileges of worshipping thy name, silence and stillness becomes us. And so we pray that we might deliberately put all of the involvements of this world at arm's distance from our soul, in order that with the totality of our being and with all of our energy and enthusiasm, we may this time worship and praise our God. For who is a God liketh unto thee, that pardoneth sin, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of thy people? Thou art the one who hath great, glorious plans for thine own. Plans that were set out in the councils of eternity in the Trinity, undertaken and discharged by the coming of Jesus Christ into this world, fulfilled to every jot and tittle, every last detail, by his death upon the cross. And under that shed blood and in his name, we seek now to draw near unto thee. And we ask, Lord, that thou wouldst look down upon us, not as we have behaved, not as we have lived, but, Lord, our prayer and our plea is that thou wouldst look down upon us in and through the righteousness and that blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, that the delight thou dost have in him might be a delight experienced by ourselves also as we come in his name. And so we pray, Lord, that for each and every one of us, as we would confess our sins and our faults and our failings before thee, that we might know something of that pardon and forgiveness, that we might know something of that peace, the exclusive gift he bestows upon his people. We live in troublous times. We live where there are changes in providences day after day. Our lives can be unsettled so quickly and so easily. But we bless thee, Lord, for the foundation, solid and substantial, on which we stand today. There is no change with thee. There is no variation from day to day, as there is with us. And so we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst speak to each one of thy people a word of comfort, of pardon and forgiveness in Christ. For those, O Lord, who may be wayfaring or dropping back or strangers to thee at all, we pray, Lord, for the challenge of thy gospel, same thing, to come home to them, that we might be exercised in spiritual things this morning, that we might be thinking of things that are of not of time and sense, but of eternity and of our soul. And we pray, Lord, for the work of thy Spirit, to take thy word and to apply it to each and to every one of us. We may assemble and we may come together as a community and congregation. We may come with friends round about us and members of the families with us. But here and now, our dealings are very private and personal, alone with thyself. So, Lord, speak as thou dost know each one of us, a word that is tailored to our needs and will meet our problems, situation, concern. And we ask, O Lord, that each one of us may go from our meeting here this morning with a sure testimony, firm in our soul, that here we have met with thee. Come in with us then, our Lord and our God, we pray. We ask that thou wouldst lay thine hand upon each one of us, both pulpit and pew alike. We pray that thou wouldst help us to understand what we might read and what we might hear. And we ask our Lord and our God that we might indeed know some change and some blessing coming upon us from the counsels of heaven itself. As we come, Lord, to worship and to praise thee, as we come confessing our faults and our failings, so, Lord, we come with a burden for prayers for those round about us. In the congregation and the community, there are so many that in the silence of our hearts now, we may make mention of faces and of places. We think, Lord, of those who may not be with us because of advancing years, of illness or sickness, of the intrusion of providence. We think of so many, O Lord, who have not been able but would be willing to be here. We pray therefore, Lord, that thou would be a little sanctuary to them where they might be, that the blessing might be theirs as we seek it for ourselves also here gathered. We remember our communities and the ministry of thy word amongst us, even round about us here. So many vacancies, but Lord, also so many places where the word is preached. And we pray therefore that thou wouldst come amongst thy people. Thou who art the Lord God Almighty, enthroned in the heavens, that thou wouldst make thyself known indeed as the living God amongst us as a people once again. For we have as a nation strayed dramatically from the counsels of thy truth. We have imported into our rules and regulations and into the basics of society things that are contrary to thy word. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst come and visit us, not with justice or with judgment, but with mercy and with grace and with the spirit of repentance to return. We need thee, O Lord. We need thee, especially in these days of COVID and of health and of finances and of business, each one intermeshed with the other, and all of them affecting each other. And we need that wisdom which man does not have, but is the gift of thy spirit, that we might know the way ahead and what to do. So, Lord, we look to thee now, and we pray that thou wouldst be with us as we wait upon thee once again at this time. Lord, our God, our prayer, the burden of our hearts is simple and is persistent. Visit us, O Lord, in thy grace. Work in our hearts and draw us ever closer to thyself. And in all of thy dealings with us, deal with us graciously and pardon us our sin. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We continue our worship singing, this time from the words of Psalm 14, again on the sheet for you there. The way in which people today think, the way they behave, that there is not a God, the fool doth in his heart conclude. They are corrupt, their works are vile, not one of them doth good. Upon men's sons the Lord from heaven doth cast his eyes abroad, to see if any understood and did seek after God. They all together filthy are, they all aside are gone, and there is none that doeth good, yea, sure, there is not one. These workers of iniquity, do they not know at all, that they, my people, eat as bread, and on God do not call? Psalm 14, from that beginning.
Good.
Reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles and chapter 26. It is composed entirely with the events and character of the life of Uzziah, which we will be looking at in a moment. 2 Chronicles and chapter 26, let us read and hear God's word. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And he went forth and warred against the Philistines and brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod, and built cities around Ashdod and among the Philistines. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gurbaal and the Mehunims. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry, farming. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their count by the hand of Jael, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets, harbigans and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, "It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honour from the Lord God." Then Uzziah was angry, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, the leprosy even rose up on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in the forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death. and dwelt in a several or in a separate house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper. And Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Amen. And we look to the Lord to give his blessing and our understanding in that reading of his own holy word. We continue our worship, this time coming to the words of Psalm 19 for our worship. And we're singing from verse 7 through to verse 11. Again, speaking of God's word and his law as it applies to Uzziah, but also to you and me. God's law is perfect and converts the soul in sin that lies. God's testimony is most sure and makes the simple wise. The statutes of the Lord are right and do rejoice the heart. The Lord's command is pure and doth light to the eyes impart. Unspotted is the fear of God and doth endure forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They more than gold, yea, much fine gold to be desired are than honey, honey from the comb that droppeth sweeter far. Moreover, they thy servant warn how his life should frame. A great reward provided is for them that keep the same. Psalm 19, God's law is perfect.
God's law is perfect. Simple wise.
As the Lord gives us guidance, let's turn now to the reading we had from 2 Chronicles and chapter 26. As I indicated, it deals with the life of Uzziah, and the one verse sums it up, but not exclusively for our focus. Verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a separate house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Confrontation and its consequences. That might sum up what we're going to think of this morning. But by way of introduction, I want to get into your memory. In Numbers chapter 20, Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, there's a passage and a text which perhaps we all of us know and remember. Beware, your sins shall find you out. And that message and the context of it, very familiar to us, because the children of Israel were going to cross the Jordan. 2.5 of the families were minded to stay on the one bank, leaving the others to cross over the Jordan. Moses told them plainly and simply it was a selfish request and it was a bad example. And an arrangement was made whereby they would leave their family stock and such like where it was, and the menfolk of these 2.5 tribes would cross over to fight with their fellow believers. The arrangement was made. Moses gave solemn warning. And in the midst of it, he gave them clear, plain, simple teaching. Do as you've said. Because if you don't, be sure of this. Your sins will find you out. There was going to be no escape. The Lord would be noting what they say and was looking for the doing of it. That phrase is not limited to secret sins. Sometimes that kind of discovery is all of the meaning and interpretation we put upon it. But it applies to the nation and to the people there and then. All and any sins will be found out against the sinner, as God applies his holiness and his justice to all of us, even to the smallest details of our lives. So therefore, there is a solemn obligation laid on all these people, as well as upon you and I and our nation today, to do what we know is right, and as we've said and covenanted to do. And the sure knowledge is that if we don't, punishment and justice will catch up with us if we fail. No matter where we are. Especially, no matter who we are. There is going to be no protection from rank or position. That's clear lesson from the life of Uzziah. Here he is, the king, and he's at the top of his game. But in the luxury and the success that he was enjoying, he takes one step too far. And in that one moment, he ruins all that he had achieved in his lifestyle, in his lifetime. Only a moment, spoiling a lifetime. Confrontation and its consequences. We hear, we know, and are familiar with a similar confrontation. Remember what Nathan said after David committed adultery with Bathsheba. Pointing the finger simply at him and says, David, you're the man. That kind of confrontation takes place, Uzziah, David, and with ourselves. So let us unpack this verse and these experiences of this king to see what lessons we can get and applications we can make for ourselves. I have four simple thoughts as a skeleton for our meditation this morning. First of all, I want us to think of the ungrateful heart that Uzziah had. Read again the second part of verse 5, just the whole verse. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had an understanding in the visions of God. And then this phrase, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Here was a king who enjoyed the lavish provision of God. He became king when he was 16 years of age, and there was so much going for him. Yes, he followed the good example of his father, but that in itself, in verse 4, is a limited example to follow. But the one thing that we've got to latch on to is the very last phrase at verse 3. Not so much looking at the father, but looking at the mother. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. It's something we all learn from our Bibles that names mean a lot in these days. They once meant a lot with ourselves in our own nation. The clan names and such like were descriptive titles to people. So it is with this woman here. Her name was Jecoliah. The Hebrew, and it translates into English something like this. Jehovah will enable. Jehovah will enable you and Jehovah will help you. That's the name of this woman, this mother of Uzziah. Whenever you turned to him, you will never be let down or disappointed. Whatever you've got to do, Uzziah, in your life and living as a king, as well as an ordinary person, this is the lesson that was given over by his mother when he grew up all these years. Jehovah will enable you. That proved true for Uzziah. Because again, it's a Hebrew word. And again, the name means something for us. Because Uzziah means, my strength is Jehovah. It tells us that, at least in these early formative years of his life, he did put into practice what he was taught by his mother. He was never disappointed or let down by trusting and relying upon Jehovah. He was given abundant and reliable teaching year after year. And that teaching proved true and reliable. All the teaching that we get or we give within the family circle, it's good for the formative years of young ones growing up, especially in these days. We're given the word, the proverb, train up a child in the way he or she will go, and when she is old, they will not part going from it. So that's the first thing we can see about this man's early years. His mother teaching him and leading him to rely upon the Lord, because that is not a futile or a vain exercise. But on top of that, we come then also to the beginning of verse 5. He sought God in the days of Zechariah. Here also there was a good teacher and a great input into his life. It's not the Zechariah that we have in the prophets. This is another man, a friend of the king. And we're told particularly that he had understanding in the visions of God. He was able to open up the teaching of God, to teach and instruct in a further way the life of this King Uzziah as it developed and matured. He was able to explain it and to apply it, not only personally, but in preparing him to be king and all of the responsibilities that that would bring. So we have here the life of Uzziah, the formative influences on him and with him, the rich inputs, so many different inputs bearing down upon him. And how good it is. We've seen the benefit, we've quoted the benefit of a mother's instruction to a child. How good also it is to have an older, a practical Christian that is able to instruct us and to tell us out of their own experience and their own knowledge of God's word how we should conduct ourselves as we grow up and as we go on. Someone who's able to break it down into very practical ways of living and conducting our lives. Because it's not enough simply to know God's word. That only makes us educated sinners. It doesn't make us saints. What we need is someone to come beside us and to break it down for us. If I can use an illustration, perhaps I've used it before, but it's worth repeating. Down in Fort William, Ben Nevis was there, and everybody was out climbing it. Well, trying to anyway. Sometimes somebody would go up and they'd get stuck. And what was happening was they were cragfast. Now, cragfast is a situation where you're stuck literally on the hill, on the rock, and you don't know which way to go. You're holding on, or you're standing on a ledge, and you don't know how to get on. And what you need is one of the rescue team to come down on a rope beside you and to talk you through step by step how you're going to get out of that difficulty. Always 3 points of contact. Move a foot, move a hand, only one at a time. The hand goes there, foot goes there, and you're talked out of the danger that you're in. That's the kind of example and the teaching and the influence that Zechariah had on Uzziah. Able to get down beside him and telling him, yes, but this is the way to do it. So all we've got from this is that Uzziah, he obeyed the word of the Lord in a measure. He walked in the ways of God. But what we're told especially is that it was a measured commitment. Look at what it says in verse 4. He walked, did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And again, we've got another name, we've got another person to look at. I suggest you can do it later on this afternoon, but just go back one chapter to chapter 25. And there in chapter 25, we have what this man did, his father. Yes, he walked in the ways of the Lord. We're told in chapter 25, verse 2. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But again, notice the qualification and the measure, but not with a perfect heart. So this is the father's influence upon the son. And if you go through that chapter 25 even further, when you come down to verse 14, it tells us very specifically what he did when he captured a particular tribe of people, the Edomites. What does he do? He brings the god of the Edomites into his own circle. And he gives that God place and position that has no right to be given to it. That's the indication that he didn't follow God with a perfect heart. And that's the influence that he had upon his son. Measured, restricted, limited. So there we have, trying to build up the example, trying to build up the culture, trying to build up the picture of this man, Uzziah. We all of us have measures of input from other people. We all of us have friends who could and did help us in our Christian life. We all have people who have, in some measure, in some degree, had input to you or to me. And the question we have to ask ourselves, what have we done with what we've been given? Has it remained simply in our memory? Or has it been transferred and translated to influence our lives? Do we walk in the ways of our God, doing what is right in his sight without restriction or qualification? Or perhaps there's a little bit in a little corner of our life, a wee pigeonhole marked, keep out, private, mine. That might have been what Uzziah did. He followed the Lord only according to the example of his father, who himself did not follow the Lord perfectly. But in the times when he did follow the Lord, and it's important that we make this point, verse 5, as he followed the Lord blessed him. And again, I want to deliberately take off this verse, out of this chapter rather, the way in which the Lord blessed him, because it piles up God's goodness to this man. Look at verse 6. He went out and he warred against the Philistines. And they were afraid of him because they brought presents and gifts to keep him sweet. In the area of conflict, he was at the top of his game. His reputation spread, we're told, even to the furthest borders of Egypt. This wasn't a man who was living in a corner of the world, in a little clique in the hills. He was a man ruling a nation, and his reputation went beyond its borders. Verse 2, he was a builder. He was a man of enterprise. We're told, why did you be there? You've got to ask the question. He built Eloth, we're told in verse 2. And he restored it. What's the significance of Eloth? Why is it mentioned and given such a strategic mention there at the beginning of this man's life like this? Eloth was to him what Glasgow and the Clyde was to Scotland in days gone by. It was the doorway of import and export and access to the rest of the world. People came by sea. Boats came in with all of the goods from all over the world, and export went out from there to other places. That's what Eloth was. That's why it was such a significant place. And here he is. He's built it up. We're told there of the way in which he was a great farming man. He built up all of the wells. He had great flocks and sheep and cattle and such like. Verse 11, we come down. He had a host of fighting men. And again, something significant we're told there. He had a standing army. It was never like this before. If there was ever a conflict, the fiery cross went out the land of each of Israel, and recruits were taken in from all the lands to fight on a particular cause. But here, we have a standing army. And we're told the way in which he equipped the army. All of these things were indications of God's blessing upon him. He was strong and he was getting stronger. And with all of his getting, he was in danger. He forgot, and this is why I mentioned it as an ungrateful heart. He forgot that all that he had was given by God. All of his success and his blessings were God's gracious benediction and blessing toward him. One simple phrase to explain it all from prophecy of Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. We all of us, as well as Uzziah, we all need an exercised spiritual heart to recognize the good things that God has given. And the way in which Jude puts it all together. Verse 18, Jude, that very short book, the last few verses, he says to us, keep yourselves in the love of God. We need effort, we need application to remind ourselves constantly what God has given to us and to live in the light of it as well as the experience of it, to apply it to us, to walk in his ways. It's not automatic, it needs effort. An ungrateful heart, this man did not exhibit it because he took and he didn't realize the danger that he was in at the top of his game. And that takes us to the second point, deliberately painting the picture, lingering as we have, because from that ungrateful heart, we come to verse 16 and a simple one word, but. Because we come from an ungrateful heart to an unholy ambition. But something spoiled this great man's life ministry. When the tabernacle was built and the worship of that place was set out by God, specific instructions were given that it was to Aaron and to his sons to minister in that place and to them alone. When you go to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 16, we have an episode there concerning Korah. Korah wanted to challenge the authority and position that Moses had. Korah wanted to challenge the way in which God had set out the different regulations for different groups of people, for Aaron as well as for Moses. And of course, the judgment was brought and Moses was vindicated and Korah was swallowed up and all of those that were following him. And because of that, God very clearly in Numbers chapter 18 says it out for us. It is to Aaron and to his sons that this responsibility and privilege is given. That they are to minister in the tabernacle. And so we come to what Uzziah did. He wanted what he was not entitled to have. He wanted to go where he was not entitled to be. In God's cause and in God's kingdom, the responsibilities and the duties of each had been given. And there was a line drawn. And you don't cross it. If you do, you bring trouble on yourself. God has set out, taking it down and applying it simply to ourselves today. God has set out how we should worship him, what we should do. We're not left to devise, to invent, to create the forms of worship. We have it here practiced, the singing, the prayers, the reading. But especially, God has appointed the foolishness of preaching. So that any understanding and blessing that we get comes not because of anything that goes on, but is the gift of God's Spirit working in our souls. That brings glory to his name. The foolishness of preaching. We have today mime, drama, musical entertainment. They have their place, to be sure. But not here and now. In the worship of God. So Uzziah, he thought he knew better. He thought he could push the envelope. He thought he could take God on. an unholy ambition. Remember what happened to Jericho. They went round the walls of Jericho 7 times and the walls of Jericho fell down. And Joshua very clearly pronounced a curse and he says, whoever tries to build this wall will suffer for it in his family and in each and every one of his children. That's it. Line's been drawn. And we find that from Joshua chapter 6, we go right through all of the historical books until we come to the book of 1 Kings chapter 16. And the very last verse of that chapter, we're told of a man called Hiel. And Hiel says, well, I'm going to take God on. And such was the spirituality of that age that he was determined to challenge that curse. And so he started to rebuild. And God came and fulfilled. And with the foundations and with the stonework, and as far up as it went, he lost child after child after child. God is not silent. God is not inactive on what he has said. Beware, your sins will find you out. You think that you can come and take God on. Let's just see what happens. That's what happened with Hiel, taking God on. And here we have Uzziah taking God on. He wanted to push the envelope. He wanted to try something for himself. This unholy ambition that he had to go in and to minister in this temple, in this tabernacle, to go in and minister a place that was exclusively appointed and set by God for Aaron and his children, his sons. There will be many times, if we apply that to ourselves, there will be many times on the Christian path when a confrontation will take place with us, where our commitment will be tested. Are we going to remain within the confines of what God has appointed and set? Are we going to stay within the restrictions and limitations that God has set? This and this. You go there, you don't go there. You do that, you don't do that. Are we prepared to stay within these lines? Might be difficult. We might have to struggle. We might even from time to time look over the fence and entertain the thought, why can I not go there? Why can I not do that? Oh, there's this shortcut. If we take the words of Pilgrim's Progress, there's a shortcut. I don't have to be so strict in staying to the narrow path. There's also Byway Meadow. I'll take a shortcut. I'll go round this way. All of these are pressure struggles that come upon us. The challenge that comes to us. The unholy ambition Uzziah had. The unholy ambition that we might have. And if we yield to that, as Uzziah did, the Lord God will press a button on our life. He did it for Uzziah, he'll do it for us. A pause button. And there's going to be no progress in our Christian development, maturing of character, service or work. There's going to be no development in any of these areas until the issue is settled. Until we get back on track. Until we give up that holy, unholy ambition. Will we bow before what God has set and prescribed for us? Or will we reject and go our own way and do it my way? The ungrateful heart, the unholy ambition. What else do we have here? The unyielding will. Well, there was Uzziah. He went into the temple. The line had been drawn clearly. You don't go across it. The king was on his throne. The priests are in his temple. Let there be no doubt about the matter. Nobody enters in there except the priest. And there went the king. And it was known to the high priest. And what happened? The high priest, we're told, went in after him with 80 others. Now let's remember what that meant. That took courage to do it. What do we say? The king is at the top of his game. He's got a vast standing army. He's got all these blessings that came upon him. He's got a tremendous resource. He's got a tremendous influence. He's got all of these things going for him. And these 80 or so people went in to challenge him. That takes courage. Takes courage there and it takes courage now. If we know that something is wrong, to stand up and to speak out against it takes a lot of courage, especially if the person or the thing that to be addressed is of great moment, reputation, or such like as Josiah was. The king knew what was required. He wasn't ignorant, but he wasn't going to bow before it. He stood over it. And he thought, and it's something that perhaps echoes in politics today. He thought that an exception was going to be made for him. Look at what I've have. Look at what I've done. I'm going my way. And I'm not going to give in and yield. There's going to be an unyielding will of this man. Napoleon said this. I am no ordinary man, and the laws of morals and of customs were never made for me. Napoleon said this. I am no ordinary man, and the laws of morals and of customs were never made for me. An unyielding will. He wasn't prepared to bow down to what God had said. That's the fearful danger he was in. And we've got to recognize that danger in him and transfer it and translate it and apply it to ourselves. We sometimes can challenge God. And we've got to be careful. So careful when we do so. So let's move on quickly then. An ungrateful heart, an unholy ambition, an unyielding one. One last thought. He had from that moment onwards an unhappy life. The priests heard it, the priests went in, the priests confronted him. And they says, not another step. Not another step, Josiah. Get out. And as soon as they said that to Uzziah, what happened? Verse 21. Uzziah the king was a leper. No. Sorry, verse 19. Uzziah was angry and had a censer in his hand. Uzziah built up. He built up the rage and the anger within him. We don't know what he did with the censer, but we can all speculate in a very spiritual way, perhaps, swinging it or using it in a not inappropriate way. What is our reaction when we are caught out? What happens when the Lord intervenes into our plans? We speak today about the red mist. It always fogs up and chokes our thinking. And a reaction. The red mist that came upon Uzziah. Does it come upon us? The unhappy life from this point onwards. From all his position, all of his protesting, all his posturing, the consequence of disobedience were very quickly seen on him. How many years of blessing under the hand of God. But in a moment of weakness, it was all spoiled. The unhappy life, we all knew, first of all, he lost his health. Here he is, a leper. The penalty for what he did in the Old Testament was specified to be death, but God in his mercy spared him. Instead of going on amongst the people, he was isolated, even living unto his very death in what's called here a separate house. An unhappy man. He lost his health. He lost his throne. Very significantly, the name of Uzziah is mentioned 12 times in this chapter. But only 2 times is he described as the King Uzziah. And both of these occurrences are very significant. In verse 18, we're told, and they withstood. Who did they withstand? Uzziah, the king. To bring out to us the conflict between that group of 80 and this king with all that was going for him. Yes, the courage that was required to confront Uzziah, the king. But then we come from verse 18 down to verse 21. And again, it's important and significant. And Uzziah, the king, was a leper. As a king, he was over all his nation and over all his people, but now isolated from every one of them. His law was a big word in a big country. But now he ruled over just a few, a handful, just like him, lepers like himself. He lost all his authority. He lost all of his kingdom. He lost his throne. He lost his privileges. He was told now he was barred from going into the house of God. Psalm 122, I joyed when to the house of God to go up, they said to me. No more, never again could Uzziah say that. An isolated man. He wanted to be at the center of all the business, of the ritual of the nation and of the people. He wanted there to be having the crowds round about him and spectating as to what he was doing and saying. He wanted everybody focusing upon him. But now, all he had was a group of people just like himself. He couldn't go onto the throne. He couldn't go into the court. He couldn't even walk beside an ordinary 5/8 peasant going up to the house of God. He couldn't even do that. He lost all his privileges. He was an unhappy and a lonely man. And even in his death, we're told there in verse 23, they buried him in the field of the burial. They didn't actually bury him with the fathers, but in a field that was next to it. All because, in a moment of weakness, he went where he was not allowed to go. He crossed a line. But it's important to say that when he was challenged and confronted, he refused to back off. Remember what happened with David? Yes, he was confronted, and Nathan pointed the finger and said to David, you are the man. But what was David's reaction? He immediately confessed and returned to the Lord. Not so, Uzziah. Can you think of just a moment? There he is, all these years in this separated house. And perhaps one of these times he listened to him. And he's talking to himself. And maybe, just maybe, you catch hold of what he's saying. If only I had listened. If only I hadn't gone there. If only I hadn't done that. If only. If only. If only I'd remembered what I was taught. How much he risked and how much he lost in that moment, so also with ourselves. How we can say that to our soul, if only. If only I had listened to what my mum and my dad told me. If only I had listened to what my friends had told me. If only. One little thoughtless, hasty word. One little immoral act. One little dishonest action. All of the disastrous consequences piling in our lives because of that one moment. What a lesson we can learn then from this man. I want to close. We've gone past our time. Let me do so by simply setting before us all passages of scripture, markers. Remember when in olden days there was no such thing as a tarmac Adam road, and they were walking cattle from Skye to the markets in Stirling or in Perth. And they took them across the hills. And when they walked across the hills, against the highlight of the hill in the distance, there would be a marker. And they had to go and aim for that marker. And then from that one, they'd see the next one. And the next one. Let's take the scriptures as markers for ourselves. Remember what we've been taught. What does Paul say to us in Romans chapter 12. Let me just read it. Best to read it rather than depend on recall. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Resist the pressure. What is Micah chapter 6 verse 8? What does God require of you but to love justice, do righteously, and walk humbly with your God? What does Jude tell us? We've looked at it and quoted it already. Keep yourself, deliberately keep yourself in the love of God. And then one last quotation and I'm finished. John chapter 14. We all long for this. We all long for more fellowship and enjoyment and experience of God's presence with us. Listen to what the Lord himself tells us in John 14:23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If we walk in the ways of the Lord, that formula that was used about Uzziah in his early years, about his father in certain measure, that formula that is used so often to describe the relationship between king and God, they walked in the ways of God. That's what we want. How then is it achieved? By loving him and keeping to what he has said for us. That's the lesson, Uzziah, for us. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, again we bless thy name for the living word which comes to us and speaks to us of our need and brings before us applications relevant to our situation that we are in today. Bless us underneath thy word now. As we part one from the other, keep us conscious of it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We're closing by singing from Psalm 138. Psalm 138, thee will I praise with all my heart. I will sing praise to thee before the gods and worship will toward thy sanctuary. I praise thy name even for thy truth and kindness of thy love, for thou thy word has magnified all thy great name above. Thou didst me answer in the day when I thee did cry, and thou my fainting soul was strengthened inwardly. All kings upon the earth that are shall give thee praise, O Lord, when as they from thy mouth shall hear thy true and faithful word. This psalm, which contrasts the behavior of Uzziah to us. Psalm 138, thee will I praise with all my heart. And peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.